Sabbath blessing and welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. We only have 1 minute, but I think my clock is a little bit behind. On this blessed Sabbath, October 15, 2022, also thanking the Lord for giving my son another year of life. On this lesson number 367, chapter 75, entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, Part 4. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Our opening Tiny Town theme song is a hymn entitled Jesus Loves Me, and our dear brother Grace will be the one to share it with us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me, I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone of the tiny tots, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, would like to open this section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
This is going to be a long one. Thank you. Sabbath blessing, everyone. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please pick the Sabbath or sour about to learn. Can you cook the God? And please accept the Lord of my Sabbath prayer that we always do. And please accept the prayers that we always do. And please protect the words. And please protect the words that we're close to. And please protect the children's study. And please protect everybody in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is story time for our precious children to be able to continue to learn about the story of Jesus, chapter 9, early ministry, part 4, and our dear brother will be the one to narrate.
Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 4, 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And John chapter 2, verse 9 says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was or where it came from, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, or poor quality wine. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Jesus couldn't make inferior wine. And everyone in whom God's Spirit dwells will live forever with Christ in his kingdom. That's what we want. Received into the heart by faith, it is the beginning of life eternal. The precious blessing Christ told the woman he would give her if she asked for it. Period. So he will give it to us. This woman had broken God's commandments, and Christ showed her that he knew the sins of her life. But he showed, too, that he was her friend, that he loved and pitied her, and that if she was willing to forsake her sins, God would receive her as his child, as he will us. How glad she was to know this. In her joy, she hurried away to the town nearby and forgot her water vessel and called the people to come and see Jesus. So they came to the well and asked him to stay with them. He remained 2 days and taught them, and many listened to his words. They repented of their sins and believed on him as their Savior. So we may do. During his ministry, Jesus twice visited the old home at Nazareth. At the first visit, he went to the synagogue or church on the Sabbath day. Here, he read from Isaiah's prophecy about the work of the Messiah, how he was to preach good tidings to the poor, to comfort the sorrowing, and to give sight to the blind, and to heal those that were bruised. Then he told the people that all this was fulfilled that day. This was the work that he himself was doing. At these words, the hearers were filled with joy. They believed that Jesus was the promised Savior. Their hearts were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and they responded with fervent amens and praised the Lord. Story of Jesus, page 56.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing part one of our new lesson entitled Early Ministry, part four, in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place October the 22nd, 2022. Well, little ones, dear remnant family, it is time for our Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. This is our part 21. Water topics are really, really amazing. Let us have our listening ears, dear one, and our dear brother, Josh, will be the one to narrate it.
So, blessings, everyone. And here's today's lesson concerning water, and it's all about dams. Nature, dams. There are two kinds of dams. One is made of concrete and stone. They are called masonry dams. Other dams are made of earth and rocks, and they are called embankment dams. Two things Jesus needed, a container and water for the miracle he was going to perform. To perform a miracle in your life, he needs you as the vessel and himself, the water of life, to make a new creation, which is represented by the pure grape juice. In order to construct the dam, the builders must gather and study much information. Some of the things to consider are the pattern of the area, the stream flow, the area that will be covered by the water, rock formation, and many other things. We too can study to know how to be in Christ, then we can be a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When building a dam, a way to pass the flow of the stream from the riverbed must be found. Why? So the foundation can be built. Many times a bypass path is made for the river to flow around the dam site. Once the dam is completed, then the bypass path was made for the river to flow around the dam site. Once the dam is completed, then the bypass path is plugged. To make a new creation out of us, God needs to lead us to another path to bring us back where he wants us. Just as the course of the water must be channeled in the right direction, so the Christian must form right habits that all his energy might be used in God's service. Ways to care for the overflow must be made for the safety of the dam. When the reservoir is full, the excess water is allowed to flow through a spillway back to the main river. Dams can be dangerous. How? Well, a dam can collapse sometimes because of poor construction or an earthquake. It could flood areas below it. Our spiritual safety is important, and to make sure it never collapses, we must respectfully give ourselves to Jesus every moment of every day. And here's another nature lesson about waterfalls. My mistake. That part is not yet. But for now, here's the remarkable parenthood. The old nature, born of blood and the will of the flesh, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The old ways, the hereditary tendencies, the former habits, must be given up, for grace is not inherited. The new birth consists in having new motives, new tastes, new tendencies. Those who are begotten unto a new life by the Holy Spirit have become partakers of the divine nature. And in all their habits and practices, they will give evidence of their relationship to Christ. When men who claim to be Christians retain all their natural defects of character and disposition, and what does their position differ from that of the worldling? They do not appreciate the truth as a sanctifier, a refiner. They have not been born again. Sixth Bible Commentary, page 101. And some of the world's greatest dam builders are, of course, beavers. Who have men got the idea of building dams by them. And God is the one who gave them the idea to make dams in order to make their homes. So now we know where dams actually originated from. The next nature lesson on water is about waterfalls. Nature, waterfalls. What is a waterfall? It is the sudden descent of a stream or river from a higher to a lower place. As a river wears away its bed, it may uncover layers of rock that are softer than others. As the soft rock wears faster than the hard, a waterfall may form. Many waterfalls were made during the time of the flood. Some people today drink wine that is not pure but fermented. It is like descending from a high spiritual place to a lower place. They waste their life and money and do not care for their family properly. We read the Desire of Ages, page 149, paragraph 4. Falls are usually found in more mountainous areas. The streams starting high up in the mountain and flowing downward may find paths over high ledges. They can be a very beautiful sight. Sometimes the water spray makes a rainbow. The clear water drop changing into lovely colors can remind us of how Jesus turned the clear water into colorful grape juice. Waterfalls can also remind us of the beautiful act of Jesus descending from heaven to come down to this earth and live. That was as much a miracle as changing water into wine. It showed the many different colors of God's love. And remarkable parenthood, is not this description true to life? Does it not represent to us the experience of the poor, besotted drunkard who is plunged in degradation and ruin because he has but put the bottle to his lips, who says, "I will seek it yet again"? The curse has come upon such a soul through indulgence in evil. Satan has control of his being. The man who has formed the habit of drinking intoxicating liquor is in a desperate situation. He cannot be reasoned with or persuaded to deny himself the indulgence. His stomach and brain are diseased, his willpower is weakened, and his appetite uncontrollable. The prince of the powers of darkness holds him in bondage that he has no power to break. for the aid of such victims, the liquor traffic should be stopped. Do not the rulers of this land see the awful results of the fruit of this traffic? Daily, the papers are filled with accounts that would move a heart of stone. And if the senses of our rulers were not perverted, they would see the necessity of doing away with this death-dealing traffic. May the Lord move upon the hearts of those in authority until they shall take measures that will prohibit the drinking traffic. Third Bible Commentary, page 1162. And here are some reinforcements to the things to do while to remember the lesson. 1. Observe water. 2. Find pictures of waterfalls to pull on your bulletin board if you have one. 3. If you have any waterfalls near where you live, visit them. 4. Serve grape juice some morning to pour over your cereal for breakfast. Remember how Jesus is waiting until another marriage supper before he tastes again of grape juice. Do you know what marriage that is? See Revelation 19:7. 5. Visit a grape vineyard if there's one nearby. 6. Purchase a variety of different kinds of grapes to serve at a meal. Now I'll turn it back to Ma.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little one, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Welcome to all the precious family that are just coming in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Near the Cross, found in number 312. If you would like to share the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There as precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my round enraptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen.
Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the elder siblings, Mami Sagaris, or even our guests would like to open our family section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for getting us up for this morning. And please protect my mommy, and please protect the word that we're about to learn. And please protect everybody that's at the Sabbath and everybody that's not at the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome to the brethren that are just coming in. Our opening scripture is taken from Matthew 26, verse 61, from the King James Version, and it reads, "And said this fellow, said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." This is when they were trying to accuse Jesus. This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will continue with part 4 of our lesson entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take the first verse, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
John chapter 2, verses 19, King's Version.
King James. Don't forget the J. King James Version.
King James Version. Just
Jesus.
Jesus
answered.
Answered and said unto them,
destroy.
Destroy this temple. And in 3 days I will raise it up.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. John chapter 2.
John chapter 2.
Verse 20.
Verse 20.
Then said the Jews, 40 and 6 years.
And 6 years.
Was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in three days? Thank you, Emma. Good job. Mark chapter 14, verse 56, King James Version. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Amen.
Mark 14:57. There arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands."
Mark 14:59. But neither so did their witness agree together. Mark 14:60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" Mark 14:61, continuing. He held his peace, and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked, is it which these witness? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Today we will cover pages 705 to 706. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Caiaphas deserved the desire of ages, page 705. Caiaphas, perceiving the influence that was obtaining, hastened the trial. The enemies of Jesus were in great perplexity. They were bent on securing his condemnation, but how to accomplish this they knew not. The members of the council were divided between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There were bitter animosity and controversy between them. Certain disputed points they dared not approach for fear of a quarrel. And continuing on the next slide, please. And continuing. With a few words, Jesus could have excited their prejudice against each other and thus have averted their wrath for himself. Caiaphas knew this, and he wished to avoid stirring up a contention. There were plenty of witnesses to prove that Christ had denounced the priests and scribes, that he had called them hypocrites and murderers. But this testimony, it was not expedient to bring forward. On the slide, it shows a picture at the top, and it says, now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. And that was a verse from Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. And continuing on the bottom slide, it says, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, Matthew chapter 26, verse 60. And continuing on the next slide, I'll bubble down for someone else to share.
So our blessing, everyone. Continue the reading. Desire ages, page 705. The Sadducees in their sharp contentions with the Pharisees had used to them similar language, and such testimony would have no weight with the Romans, who were themselves disgusted with the pretensions of the Pharisees. There was abundant of evidence that Jesus had disregarded the tradition of the Jews and had spoken irreverently of many of their ordinances. Next slide, please. Continue in the reading, Desire of Ages, page 705. But in regard to tradition, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at their sword's point, and this evidence also would have no weight with the Romans. Christ's enemy dared not to accuse him of Sabbath breaking, lest an examination should reveal the character of his work. If this miracle of healing were brought to light, the very object of the priest would have been defeated. Desire Ages, 705, paragraph 1. Amen. And on the side, I have a quotation of Acts 23, Verse 8, for the Sadducees said that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. To know a little bit about each side, the Pharisees, leading religious leaders, controlled the temple and strict set many traditions. And on the Sadducees, they controlled priesthood, laws of Moses only, denying the resurrection and the spirit. And we will continue on the next slide. If anyone would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
Continuing on page 705, Desire of Ages, false witness had been bribed to accuse Jesus of inciting rebellion and seeking to establish a separate government, but their testimony proved to be vague and contradictory. Under examination, they falsified their own testaments. Desire of Ages, page 705, paragraph 2.
Amen. So let us learn our first beautiful scripture song together. And this one is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, with margin, from the King James Version, taken from the scripture singer song section of Promises on the memory CD. Amen. Let us continue in our study, dear ones. We are still in page 705. If anyone would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 705. Early in his ministry, Christ had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In the figurative language of prophecy, he had thus foretold his own death and resurrection. He spake of the temple of his body, John 2:19-21. These words the Jews had understood in a literal sense, as referring to the temple at Jerusalem. Of all that Christ had said, the priest could find nothing to use against him, save this. Next slide, please. Continuing, by misstating these words, they hoped to gain an advantage. The Romans had engaged in rebuilding and embellishing the temple, and they took great pride in it. Any contempt shown to it would be sure to excite their indignation. Here, Romans and Jews, Pharisees and Sadducees could meet, for all held the temple in great veneration. Next slide, please.
Continuing, on this point, two witnesses were found whose testimony was not so contradictory as that of the others had been. One of them, who had been bribed to accuse Jesus, declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' Thus Christ's words were misstated. If they had been reported exactly as he spoke them, they would not have secured his condemnation even by the Sanhedrin.
Desire of Ages, page 705, continuing. Had Jesus had been merman, as the Jews claim, its declaration would only have been indicated an unreasonable, boastful of spirit, but could not have been construed into blasphemy. Even as the misrepresented by the false witness, his work contained nothing which would be regarded by the Roman as a crime worthy of death. Desire Ages, page 705, paragraph 3. Amen.
Let us learn another scripture song together, dear ones, but this one is taken in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 16 and 17, taken from the Desire of All Ages volume 2 in the Memory Verse CD. Continuing our study, dear ones, we are in page 706. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 706. Patiently, Jesus listened to the conflicting testimonies. No word did he utter in self-defense. At last, his accusers were entangled, confused, and maddened. The trial was making no headway. It seemed that their plotting were to fail. Caiaphas was desperate. One last resort remained. Christ must be forced to condemn himself. The high priest started from the judgment seat, his face contorted with passion, his voice and demeanor plainly indicating that were it in his power, he would strike down the prisoner before him. Answerest thou nothing? My message is a little blotted out. Continue, Rose.
It's okay, Daddy. It says, he exclaimed, what is it which these witness against thee? Desire Ages 706, paragraph 1, continuing.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome, Dad. Let's learn a last beautiful scripture song together, dear one. And this is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verses 17 through 18, King James with margin, taken from the scripture song singer in the section Peaceful Rest of the Memory Verse CD.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Isaiah 32:17-18.
Amen. So praise the Lord, we are going to be able to reserve the sixth question, and hoping by God's grace that you all will bless, dear ones, taking away the strength and the sacredness of the example that our Savior have left for us in case we are going through any of these trials and tribulation. So next week, by God's grace, we will be reviewing part 4 of our lesson entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas. If you have any other question besides this particular number 4, any other question from the first or the third, the three lessons that we had already went through, you can either reserve it or send it beforehand for research. So if anyone would like to have closing prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Father, we thank you for your blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine, at least in my neck of the woods, and all the beautiful colors of the changing of the trees. Father, we thank you for these beautiful lessons. We thank you for the participation of all the children and their parents, Father. Bless and keep us. Be with the sick among us, Father. Be with anyone that is going through any types of melodies at this time. As we move on to the next section of the studies, Father, continue to bless us and uplift us into higher ground. Be with the speaker, bless and keep him. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Jesus, precious and heavenly name. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, will be part 2 review of chapter 75, entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part 4. And that will be held October 22nd, 2022. May you all have a blessed and peaceful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, leaving the scripture and also the quote. 1 Corinthians 12:10, King James reads, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And also the quotation from a youth study, Christ Object Lesson, page 363, paragraph 4, "We are to take up the burdens that God appoints, bearing them for his sake, and ever going to him for rest. Whatever our work, God is honored by a wholehearted, cheerful service. He is pleased when we take up our duties with gratitude, rejoicing that we are accounted worthy to be co-laborers with him." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.